Assalamu alaikum everybody, and welcome to this special interview with a productivity author. Today we have Mr. Peter Bregman. He is the author of 18 Minutes, Find Your Focus, Master Distraction, and Get the Right Things Done. I just finished reading this book today and I was so excited to get in touch with the author because he's got a lot of ideas which I think most of you would really love to hear. Peter is the CEO of Bregman Partners, a global management consulting firm which advises CEOs and their leadership teams. He speaks, writes, and consults about how to lead and how to live. Peter, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Peter, let's start off by talking about 18 minutes of focus. I'm going to ask you to do like an elevator pitch about your book in like 60 seconds if possible. So just give us the broad concept. What is 18 minutes and how does the concept work?
Sure. The broad concept is that we often live in such a way that it feels like time is unlimited, that you can get everything done that there is to do, and that we don't have to make choices. And when I was struggling with my own management of time, I was really faced with this idea that, like, I can't get it all done. And every time management book that I looked at seem to assume that if you used their method, if you followed their rules, if you labeled things differently, you could get it all done. And I fundamentally found that to be untrue. And I hit this wall where I said, you know what, I can't do it. And so I found that I had to be very strategic and very intentional about what I was going to do and what I was going to not do. And this book, for me, the reason I bothered to write it is because I felt like we needed a voice in this conversation that said, you know, we are a limited resource. We won't get it all done. And given that, what's the greatest, holiest, most important use of you? And how do you get rid of the other stuff, the chatter, the things that distract you from being your best self and from being sort of most productive in terms of using your talents and strengths and gifts in the best way possible? What's getting in the way, and how do we get those off the table so that we only focus on the things that are most important?
Peter, like in your book, you actually, when you said make strategic choices, you don't normally, people think about strategic choices on like a 5-year horizon, 10-year horizon, but for yourself, you say start off with 1 year, then go with 1 week, then 1 day, then 1 moment. Can you describe how you sort of be strategic at each of those levels?
Yeah, you know, I first of all, I find 5 years is, there are some things that I think about on a 5-year time horizon. There are some things I think about on a lifetime time horizon. But in terms of really get accomplishing things, it really helps me to think in terms of a year. You know, we the religious calendar is cycles on a year, the secular calendar cycles on a year, and it just seems like the right amount of time to chunk off and say, what is it that I'm going to get accomplished in that? And I begin each year thinking about, and you could do this any time during the year, what are the 5 most important things I want to focus on? These are not goals. I'm not saying, what am I going to get accomplished? It's hard to know exactly what I'm going to get accomplished, but I could tell you where I want to spend my time this year, what's most important. You know, for me, for this year, it's doing great work with my current clients. My work is with CEOs and their leadership teams as an advisor around workplace team leadership issues. So it's, I want to focus on my current clients and do great work with them. That's one area of focus. Another area is I want to grow and develop the business. I want to bring on more clients and do more of this work. The third area is to speak and write about my ideas, which is what we're doing right now, and you know, I write an article every week. And the fourth is new development ideas, exciting new innovative things. I'm starting a leadership school, and that's that fourth area. You know, something really cool and interesting that's budding that probably won't bring me in revenue this year, but you know, it's important to me. And the fifth area is to nurture myself and my family. And those are the 5 areas that I want. You're going to have 5 different areas, but those are the 5 areas I want to focus on. And I know from the beginning of the year that I want to spend 95% of my time focused in these 5 buckets. That's how I decide where I want to spend my time for the year.
So then how you translate that into, let's say, your weekly plan, day plan, and then you said your moment plan?
So I create a to-do list that I call the six-box to-do list. And if you go to peterbregman.com, you could download a template on the right side. There, you click on free resources. But it's actually very simple to just create yourself if you want to, which is just, it's a piece of paper with six boxes on it. And each box, the first five boxes, represent each one of those areas of focus. And the sixth box is what I label the other 5%. So everything that doesn't fit into one of those top five categories I just talked about goes into my other 5%. When I first started keeping a to-do list like that, 95% of what I was doing fit into that other 5%. Everything I was spending my time on was the other 5%, because it's much easier and more pleasant to work on things that don't matter. And our tendency is to do that because failure doesn't mean much. And you can accomplish those things relatively quickly. And you have a sense of accomplishment, even though those accomplishments don't make a difference in terms of what you care about. But as soon as I spent a couple of days using this kind of a to-do list, everything shifted, and I started to create tasks in the boxes related to those areas. I started to think about what am I doing for my current clients and started focusing more on the leadership school and that kind of thing.
Why do people... Go ahead. No, I was going to ask, why do people resist working on those five important stuff? No, why do people normally just resist the work on the 95%?
There's a few reasons. One reason is that... they tend to take more time, more thought, be more difficult, and we would rather buy running sneakers, or buy tickets to a movie, or even watch a movie, than work on something that requires a lot of thought and hard work. And that's, there's a natural resistance to sitting down and doing something for which you don't really know the answer. And those things often involve not knowing the answer. There's an emotion involved that makes it hard to spend the time on it. We'd rather go eat. But the other reason, which is much deeper, is that those things are important to us. And if you fail, if I can't speak and write about my ideas, maybe I'm not a speaker, maybe I'm not a writer. And if I try it and I fail, it's a question of my identity. Mm-hmm. I begin to lose who I am or lose faith in myself, and I don't want to face that. So rather than face that, I'd rather not get started at all, and then I don't have to face whether I can actually do what I want to do or not. So I think there's existential reasons. I think there's tactical reasons why we'd rather work on things that are not as important.
And do you think this is like the perfect moment? Normally people think, well, I'm not ready yet. I'll wait for the perfect moment when the teacup is ready and my bed is ready and the computer's working fine. So is that, do people normally sort of, they go through that and say, I don't want to start writing a book now. It's not ready yet.
I think there is some element of perfect moment. And I think those are all, it's just an excuse to delay. Mm-hmm. Like we're just trying to push it off a little bit. Well, this other thing is urgent, or I really should make that phone call, or let me clean up my email, that's really a mess, or all sorts of things that actually seem to have validity, that do have validity, that, email is the great time suck of our generation, because, it's a work-related excuse not to do work.
Yeah.
That, we could, if I were to just sit around drinking all day, then I would be exposed as a slacker, as lazy, as an alcoholic, as whatever. But if I'm doing email all day, well,
it's work.
There's a guise of productiveness. I'm at my computer. I'm doing work. And yet, probably 80% of what we do on email is a total waste of time.
True. I like the story you gave in the book, I think, of your wife when she was young, when she was asked, she asked her mom to take her shopping. And she said, mom said, tomorrow. I said, when tomorrow? And I mean, that the power of just blocking time out and really just making an appointment with yourself that I will sit down at this hour and do this. I mean, is that one way to fight this urge to just waiting for the perfect moment to come?
For sure. And I'll share with you about the 18-minute processes, which is 5 minutes in the morning, a minute each hour, and 5 minutes in the evening. And 5 minutes in the morning, I sit down with this six-box to-do list that I just talked about, and I decide when and where I'm going to do things during the day. So I transfer. I do not use my to-do list as my working document. I use it only as a collection document, and in terms of work, I transfer things from my to-do list onto my calendar. There's a tremendous amount of evidence that points to the fact that if you decide when and where you're going to do something, you'll do it. And if you don't decide when and where you're going to do it, you won't do it. They asked women to do breast cancer checks sometime in the next month, and 53% of them did it. Then they said, tell me when and where in the next month you're going to do it. 100% of them did it.
Wow.
Drug addicts on withdrawal, write an essay before 5 p.m., none of them did it. Tell me when and where before 5 p.m. you're going to do it. 80% of them did it.
Wow.
Your calendar is a much more productive, effective, useful, practical tool for deciding what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. It's also realistic because there's only so many hours of the day. So I could decide I'm going to write a screenplay, write a book, and have 8 hours of meetings on my to-do list, but then I get to an eight-hour day and I realize I can't do all of that stuff and I have to make strategic choices at the beginning of the day. So I spend my first 5 minutes doing that. That's the when and where. Then every hour I have my watch beep. And we were talking before this interview even of the prayer schedule in Islam and the five times a day, and in Judaism it's three times a day. And it's these moments that you stop and you take a deep breath and you stop everything that you're doing and you take some level of account of what you're doing, where you are, who you're responsible to. And that's what I find these 1 minute beeps are. And as a Muslim, you have five natural ones during your day. But what I do is I set my watch to beep every hour. And on the hour, I take a deep breath and I ask myself two questions. Am I doing what I most need to be doing right now? And am I being who I most need to be right now? Or who I most want to be right now? And those two questions center me. They allow me, because it's very easy to get off on a tangent when you start working. And, you know, you respond to an email, the email sends you to the web, you go to the link on the web, soon enough you're shopping. And then the watch beeps and you take a deep breath and you say, you know what, I'm actually not doing what I need to be doing right now, and you go back to what you need to be doing. Now, sometimes what I'm choosing to do, I didn't plan to do ahead of time, but it's the right thing. You know, I have a phone call that's come in, and I interrupted myself, which was maybe a mistake, but it turns out the phone call is important, and my watch beeps, and I'm in the middle of the phone call, and I decide, you know what, this is the most, even though it's not on my schedule, this is the most important thing for me to be doing right now. What's most critical is that you check in with yourself at various times throughout the day to make sure that you're focused on the things that you want to focus on and doing what you want to do. And then the last 5 minutes is to wrap up the day, to think about what worked, what didn't work, how you want to change for tomorrow, what you want to do differently, what you want to do the same, and then I also use it to connect with people. Who should I reach out to? Who is supportive of me? Who do I want to share feedback with? Who do I want to say thank you to? I use it for that. And in some ways, as we were talking about, as a Muslim, for you and listeners, prayer five times a day, if you in fact do that, are great, great times to stop and check in and say, you know, how's it going so far? And what am I going to do between now and the next time I pray?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely gives you time to refocus and to, just as I said, take a pause. I mean, sometimes you just rush, and you don't really take time to pause. And I think for prayers or the beep every hour is a great, great tool to just stop and ask yourself, where am I doing now? The question I have, though, is this, how rigid or flexible are you when it comes to, so you say, putting stuff in your calendar? Someone says, well, I don't like, you know, planning my day hour by hour. That's just too scary. That's just, you know, that's too controlling. How would you answer that? How would you say, well, you know, you do have flexibility there?
Yeah, my best advice is try things for a couple of days, see what works and what doesn't work, and then make it your own. I am not in fact, I'm afraid in writing the book. I was afraid because I don't believe in the perfect methodology. I don't believe that I could tell you exactly what to do and how to do it, and then it will work for everyone and everyone will be perfect. I don't believe that. And so I'm glad you asked that question, because my view is try lots of things. See what works and what doesn't work, and then make choices in order to build the system that works best for you.
Brilliant. One of my favorite quotes in the book is the one you said, the world doesn't reward perfection, it rewards productivity. I think that was a gem, because it's really just pushing, because sometimes people get set paralyzed and they want to do something, things perfect. And really, unless you move, unless you start something, you just can never ever be productive, or never achieve anything. So just a few more words about that quote, because I think it's a really profound statement.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's interesting I find about that quote is that, and I mean, and here's one of the things that I think of or how I think of it. I write a lot, right? I write either weekly or biweekly for Harvard Business Review. I write for Fast Company, Psychology Today. I've written a few books. I can tell you that what I think will hit it, I wrote an article in 2009 that was big, but not huge. And last month, suddenly, it popped up for people and had in 1 week over 500,000 views.
Wow.
Now, why? I have no idea. I have no idea. And so the whole idea of perfection, of writing the perfect something, of doing the perfect something, is so clearly off base for me, because I have no idea what's perfect, and I have no idea what's going to appeal to people. And the thing that I could do most is be authentic and be honest and put out what's important to me and do it, put out enough stuff that's important to me that hopefully there's going to be an audience for it. But you know, to try to spend, here's a question. Would you rather write one article you consider to be perfect a year, or would you rather write 52 articles that you consider to be pretty good? And which process would have a better chance of getting your voice out there in the world?
So true. And the one that also another quote that was a bit for me counterintuitive was the one that's saying that it's not important to be consistent, try to be inconsistent. And that kind of shocked me initially, because you always hear about, productivity, be consistent, do the same thing over and over again. But it made sense that there's no simple formula that'll get you through every situation you encounter. And you have just to be you need to almost ask yourself the three questions you mentioned in the book: what's the situation? And so I think you said, how can I help? And who else is involved, and just try to sort of adapt yourself. I mean, sometimes, again, when people come to productivity, they think that there's a perfect system, perfect way of doing things, perfect lifestyle, and unfortunately, life doesn't work that way. So I think that was also another very, very profound statement there.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we just can't predict these things. So if we can't predict them, we might as well just do a bunch of stuff and see what sticks.
Well, I like your book is that you have a system where it gives you that those moments of reflection, whether it's 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening, or the 18, or the minutes in between. Those moments of reflection is really the key for you to adapt to the situation, and to be inconsistent, as you said, in actually achieving your goals and achieving what you set out for. Peter, thank you very, very much for a wonderful and inspiring interview. Where can people find you and find your work?
So if they go to www.peterbregman, Peterbregman, that's the best way. Everything's there. You can find links to different things there. A lot of, most of my writing is there. You can get free resources for 18 minutes. That's the best way to look.
Brilliant. And any upcoming productivity books coming up?
I'm working on my next book. I'm working on the proposal right now of the next book, and it's really focused on how to inspire. So it's focused on not on time management per se, but on inspiration and getting people on board with what's important to you and connecting with what's important to them.
Brilliant. Peter, thank you very much for your time. Really enjoyed this interview. I wish you a very, very successful life and lots of 80 minutes of focus and great time. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Take
I
care.
wish
Bye-bye.
you all the best as well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.